I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And I believe I've got a prophetic message for you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. If you will allow it, I believe this message will speak to your heart. Because prophecy is nothing more than a confirmation to what the Holy Spirit has already spoke to you through Scripture. And I'm sensing that God really wants to touch us in a powerful, powerful way. Not only in this service and the one tonight, but in the years to come, if the Lord should tarry. And not only in your family, but in your extended family and in your neighborhood and in our nation. The title of the message, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? I told the first service that they used to send me, before you had a podcast, they would send me a CD of pastor's messages, Pastor Brooks' messages every week. And so I've got volume, literally hundreds and hundreds of messages that go all the way back 20 some odd years to when you were in the other building. And years ago, pastor preached a message entitled, Jesus, the Name Above All Names. And I listened to those messages. It feeds me. And I was listening to it, and he was talking about what's in a name. And it got me thinking, this concept of names. Names. Now, I want you to join me in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, as we kind of look at that. What's in a name? Matthew 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God with us. Man, I like that. God with us. Now, names carry a lot of weight in the Bible, and there are certain names in the Bible that carry more weight than others, and there are also certain names that you probably shouldn't name your child. Like, if you have a son, you probably don't want to call him Judas. And if you have a daughter, Jezebel's not a good name either. Simply because it just, you know, carries some pretty strong connotations. This concept of names really got me thinking about 1 Samuel chapter 4. It's an amazing story, and I would strongly suggest that you go back later during your private time with God and open 1 Samuel chapter 4 and read about a woman who was about to go into labor. It was to be her great day. You know, it's a wonderful time of life, so it should be. And as she's going into labor, they begin to tell her about some circumstances that are taking place on that day as well. 1 Samuel 4 tells us that she is the daughter-in-law of Eli, who is the high priest of Israel at the time. And she's married to Eli's son, his name is Phinehas. And she's in the process of giving birth. And again, this should be the greatest day of her life. But as the birth pains are beginning, she's in the process of giving birth. A servant runs in and tells her, Have you heard the news? The Ark of the Covenant has been stolen by the Philistines. In essence, the presence of God, the Ark of God, the favor of God has been stolen. Now remember, in the Ark of the Covenant were three things. Aaron's rod, which represents God's leadership, the Ten Commandments, which represent God's law, and the manna, which represents God's provision. So God's law, God's leadership, and God's provision. It was a symbol of God's presence. So as she's about to give birth, she hears God's presence is no longer with us. God's power, God's intimacy is no longer with us. And then they tell her, on top of that, your father-in-law, the high priest, the one who stands before God for the nation of Israel, well, he's now dead. When he heard the news that the presence of God, the Ark of God, was now taken from Israel, he fell over backwards, and he hit the ground, and he broke his neck. And then if that's not enough, they look at her and say, oh, and by the way, even worse news, your husband, Phinehas, has been killed in the battle. And upon hearing those words, the Bible says that the birth pains overcame her. Every woman who's given birth understands that. You're good until you hit 6 or 7 centimeters. Then all of a sudden, everything changes. It's like I've often told you in the past, my wife with our first child, you know, she wanted to go through all those breathing classes. That's the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. You know, and you rub the baby, you know, like, you know, all that vitamin E so that they don't get, you know, stretch marks. Oh, you've been there. Yeah, I know. And listen, that was good. We were cool until she hit 6 centimeters. And then she said, get me something. I said, she said, you'll never touch me again. We got 4 kids, praise God. Yeah. And so you don't understand what it means when it says the birth pains overcame her. Literally overcame her. And as she's birthing the child, when the child is finally birthed, she tells the handmaiden there, the midwife, I want you to name him Ichabod. Because the glory has departed. And she went on to explain herself, the glory has departed from my life. It's departed from my marriage, because her husband was dead. It's departed from my family. It's departed from my nation. It's departed from my home. There's no more happiness, is what she's saying, in my life. There's no more joy in my life. So just name the child Ichabod, or what I'm presently going through right now, because the glory has departed. And in that, every time she saw that child for the rest of his life, how'd you like to be that poor kid? That every time she saw that child, she was reminded of her heartache. She was reminded of her heartbreak. She was reminded all the time about how her life was destroyed. She could have just as easily named him, the glory will come again. God's presence will come again. But she was so caught up in the negative, she's so caught up in the things where she was at that moment, that she allowed her present circumstance to prophesy the fulfillment of her future. Don't miss it. Don't fall for the devil's well-laid traps. Never, never, never name your future by your present circumstance. It may look like you're in a rut. It may look like all these things around you are going to hell in a handbasket. It may look like you'll never rise above where you are. But don't speak over your life with death. But the Bible tells us that the power of life and death are in the tongue. And you could choose to speak life over your marriage, or you could choose to speak death over your marriage. But the power of life and death is in the tongue. Because when you fast forward from 1 Samuel chapter 4 and you head now into the New Testament and the book of Matthew verses 1, 21 through 23, the prophet gives us another name. And he gives us the name Emmanuel. And then he says, it translates, God with us. God with us. And in that, I see that we also have two kinds of spirits. We have two names, and we have two kinds of spirits. And you have to choose. Which kind of attitude and spirit are you going to allow to attach to your family, to attach to your home? You know, when people walk into your house, what spirit will they sense that is around them? Have you ever had somebody walk into your house and say, wow, it really smells good here? That's usually a Puerto Rican home because it smells like pasteles, arroz con pollo, and totones, you know. But have you had them walk in? You like that, don't you, Pastor? I know you do. And you walk in and you've walked into your home. Have you ever sensed walking into some place, there's just a peace? And it's not the religious artifacts on the wall. No, there's a peace here. And you're going to have to choose. You're either going to have an Ichabod spirit that says the glory of the Lord has departed. So just give up. Don't have faith. don't have hope, don't have dreams that God is going to do great things. The glory's departed from America. It's all over. It'll never happen again. We've reached the pinnacle of our life. Or you can choose Emmanuel. God is with us. You have to choose. And the Ichabod spirit, what happens is it says that life is going down, down, down. I've had so many setbacks. The moment I deal with this, here comes that. And then the moment I deal with that, well, then here comes this again. And I've got setback after setback, and nothing ever works out for me. And if you're not careful, you just start taking on that spirit and that kind of attitude. And please understand, it is very contagious. It begins to attach itself to your children, your small children. It begins to attach itself to generation after generation after generation. And you start believing that everything is bad, and you go around with an Ichabod spirit. Listen, when you have an Ichabod spirit, the glory has departed. The joy, the hope, the fun is all gone now. And you begin to look like the cover girl or the cover boy for the Book of Lamentations. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. Amen. Always lamenting. Always saying, well, you know, it never works out for me. And I've seen a lot of people, even Christians, who have a non-victorious spirit. Because when life hits us, and how many by upraised hand will say, I know life hits us. Come on. Yes, life hits us. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And when life hits us, there are so many that can't seem to recover. But listen, friend, when we all go through stuff, and we're all going to go through stuff, it's not that when you have Emmanuel, God is with us, that you won't go through the stuff that everyone else goes through that doesn't have him. It's just that you now have a choice on how to react. And you don't have to react with the same spirit. You see, when we get bad news and adversity and challenges come, we don't have to go through it with an Ichabod, the glory has departed attitude. No, we go through it with Emmanuel. God is with us. And yes, come on now, believe it. God is with us. And though times are difficult, though times are hard, though we are working hard, we know that God is with us. We know that he's never leaves us or forsake us. He's on our side. And I hear that in my spirit this morning. And I want you to hear it in your spirit as well. And I want you to repeat after me, because in your life, Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod. So repeat with me, Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod. Turn to the person next to you and smile and say, Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod. Now, if you really believe that, I want you to get it deep in your spirit and clap your hands and give him praise that Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod. Oh, come on, Oak Creek, praise him. Praise him. Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod. The Apostle Paul understood that. He's in prison. He has chains around his wrist. He's chained in his feet. Most likely chained around his neck to the wall. And in Colossians chapter 4, he writes, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here. He is saying, pray for us for the greater opportunities. Now that really blows my mind, because here he is in prison and he's in stocks and bonds and he's not a certified public accountant. Amen. He's in chains for preaching the gospel. All around him, it looks like limitations. All around him, he can barely move. I'm limited in my movement. But he says, pray for us because I see great opportunities. In other words, his eyes were not on the limitations of his circumstances, but on the limitless God that he was looking for, that he knew God was going to open a vast door of opportunity. Listen, if you're not careful, you get that Ichabod spirit that says life is just a burden. Life is a drag. I mean, life is horrible. It's so hard. I think I'll just go home and eat some worms and turn on Dr. Phil. Life is just horrid. We live in a society that it's screaming, Ichabod, Ichabod. I mean, have you watched the presidential debates? Ichabod. The glory has departed. I look at that and I say, are we running for class president of the junior high, or are we running for the United States of America? I mean, it's crazy. Ichabod, Ichabod. First, the glory has departed from Washington, and then it's the economy. Ichabod, Ichabod, the glory has departed from the greatness of America. The glory has departed from the educational system. ABC, NBC, woe is me. See, some of you are slow, but you're really worth waiting for. Like the ones in the balcony, you're catching it. Ichabod, Ichabod. But understand this Easter season, that is not the message of the church. That is not the message from Genesis to the Revelation. No, the message of the church this Easter season is Emmanuel, Emmanuel. God is with us. Whatever comes, whatever we face, whatever morally happens in a nation, God is with us. If you believe that, somebody praise the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, don't patty cake him. Come on now. Give him the praise that he deserves. Understand that whoever is sitting in the White House 2017, they will be there by the direct divine order of God. Because scripture says God sets up kings and God pulls them down. But also understand that God intervenes in the political situations of nations. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Randy. Well, listen, friend, if you don't, you need to spend about 2 or 3 days in the book of Esther for such a time as this. And I'm so glad that when I read scripture, it doesn't say Donald shall be with us. Or it doesn't say Ted Cruz shall be with us. Or it doesn't say Marco Rubio shall be with us. It doesn't say Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders will be with us. It doesn't say Ben Carson will be with us. No, when I read a name, it says Emmanuel. That translates, God is with us. God is with us. He's still alive and well. Oh, somebody needs to shout amen in the house today. God is with us. And I'm so concerned that the church can take on the Ichabod spirit. It's almost like the church says, the glory has departed. Where's the revival? Where's the move of God? Ichabod, Ichabod. You know, they get that icky spirit. Have you ever seen somebody that you know goes to your church and you see them in the mall and you try to hide from them? Look, the camera's trying to follow me. And you hide because you know they got that icky spirit. And you don't want that stuff on you. It's so easy to get that icky spirit. The move of God is over. And now we literally have preachers doing the icky shuffle. Yeah, I call the icky shuffle is they shuffle away from the gifts of the Spirit. They shuffle away from the speaking in other tongues. They shuffle away from the praying of the sick. They're shuffling away from Pentecost. They're shuffling away. And then they want to preach the icky gospel. The icky gospel is preachers holding conferences saying that the time of the Holy Spirit is over, that God's signs and wonders and miracles are over. They tell us it's for another dispensation. But I've got good news for happy people today. The Bible says, Emmanuel, God is still with us. God is still with us. Oh, hallelujah. He's still with us. The same God that spoke to the world into existence in the book of Genesis. The same God that told the oceans this far and no further. The same of God that breathed the breath of life into the first Adam. The same God that flung the stars in the sky is the same God that we read about in the book of Acts that healed the blind, that raised the dead. He's the same God in the book of the Revelation that'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's alive and he's well and he's in charge of his church. Come on, if you believe it today, somebody clap your hands and praise him that Jesus is still in control. He's still in control. And it's time that the church begin to realize that we are not called in these last days to march around with the dull platoons in a syncopated beat. Because since, you know, you spoil me. this is not the normal church. And the rest of the year, I have to go preach to other churches. And it's almost like you walk in there, and there's walking, Ichabod, Ichabod. Can't wait for God to come. He's going to get us out of here, Ichabod. No. Why do you have that spirit where you just, I can't wait for the rapture, Brother Ruiz, because America's going to hell in a handbasket. Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod. No, church, it's Emmanuel. God is with us. That's the message of the hour. Hallelujah. We are victorious. Names. You know, it's an amazing thing. I got to thinking in 2 Kings 4, there's a story of a Shunammite woman that is very wealthy, and she goes to her husband who's elderly, and she says, we need to build a room on the roof for the prophet Elijah because he needs a place to stay, and go ahead and put a table in there. And she tells her husband, you know, and a little lamp and a bed so he has a place to stay. So he would come and he would stay with this wonderful couple, he and his servant Gehazi, you know. And while they are there, Elijah turns to Gehazi and he says, hey, what can we do for this woman? She's gone way out of her way for us and she's done so much for us. And Gehazi says, well, you know, she doesn't have a child, she's barren. And so Elijah tells Gehazi, go and get her. So the woman comes in and he says to her, by this time next year, you shall have a son. And her answer is, oh, please, Pastor, don't tease me. Don't mess with me. Because my husband now is of an extended age. He's old. In other words, she's saying the circumstances around me could be Ichabod. There's no possible way it could happen. And he says, no, because of your faith. And sure enough, that next year, she has a child. So you have a choice. Emmanuel or Ichabod. Well, the child grows in years and he's out with his father in the field. They're having the harvest time and he gets a headache and he grabs his head and he says, Papi, he's Puerto Rican, Papi. See, you all thought that he was Jewish or something. And don't go looking in your Bible because you're not going to find that translation there. But he says, I've got a headache. And he falls to the ground. And the father picks him up and tells the servant, take him to his mother. And the mother takes him to the upward room where the prophet sleeps. And she lays him on the prophet's bed. And then she tells her husband, go and get me a donkey and a servant. I'm going to go look for the prophet. And the husband is classic. He says, why? It's not the new moon and it's not the Sabbath. In other words, it's not church time. There are some of you that think the only time you can go to God is on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. She looks at him and she says, I love the King James, it is well. It is well. Ichabod or Emmanuel. And she gets and she starts heading for the prophet who represents God. And he sees her coming in the distance, and he tells Gehazi, he says, hey, that's the Shunammite. That's the one who was barren. I want you to go out and see if it is well with her. And so he runs out to the gate to meet her, and he asks her three important questions. First question, how is it with your husband? Knowing that they're in crisis, she says, it is well. Second question, how is it with you? Again, knowing that she's in crisis, it is well. Third question is where normally we would be floored. Because he's going to get to the heart of the matter. How is it with your son? Now, when you're going through a certain situation and somebody asks you a pointed question and it hits you in your soul, you have a choice. This morning, you have a choice. How is your son? Knowing he's laying home in an upstairs apartment, dead as a doornail. She smiles and says, it is well. Knowing that if the prophet spoke to a barren womb once, it's nothing for him to speak again. It is well. That's an Emmanuel spirit. The Bible tells us that the prophet goes with her and the child is raised from the dead. Listen, friends, you've got a choice. And you can look at your present situation, and you can look at all the things that are happening in your life with your rebellious kids, or you can look at your marriage, or you can look at your finances, and you can allow your present situation to prophesy to your future. Or you can lift your hands and say, you know what, babe, we're going to get through this thing. It is well. It is well. Now, when you take classes in preaching or speech classes, they tell you that it is imperative that you break it down so people can really understand what you're getting at. And so, in case you've missed the whole meaning and the entire message this morning, I'm going to break it down in a way that you will never, ever forget. And I'm going to use a story that is so deep that if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it. So turn to the person next to you and smile and say, get ready. He's going to give us a deep revelation. Here it comes. I mean, this story. Well, once upon a time, there was a little chicken named Chicken Little. I told you it was deep. And he's pecking around the barnyard one day, and he's enjoying life and just there pecking all the things that are there. And then all of a sudden, a little acorn drops from a tree and hits him in the head. Un coco, you know, un coco tazo. If you're Latin, you understand what that is. And suddenly, after the acorn hits him, he starts clacking and squawking all over the barnyard in a total panic. And he starts screaming, the sky is falling! The sky is falling! Might as well have been saying, Ichabod! 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 So he goes to his friend, Turkey Lurkey. And Turkey Lurkey gets all upset, and he starts gobbling around and running around the barnyard. And he goes and finds Ducky Wucky. And Ducky Wucky, the sky is falling. The sky, I told you, you'll never forget it. The sky is falling. How many have ever heard this story? Amen. It's a deep biblical truth. And Turkey Lurkey found Ducky Wucky, and Ducky Wucky went quacking all over the barnyard, and he ran into Horsey Worsey. And Horsey Worsey starts bucking and snotting, and everything's called, the sky is falling. And he bumps into Bossy the cow. Have you heard the story, Pastor? Yeah, you've heard. I'm preaching now, amen. And everybody needs a Bossy the cow in their life because she stands back and assesses the situation. And she goes to Chicken Little and she says, Mijo. You got the whole barnyard in an uproar over one tiny little acorn that hit you in the head. One little thing. And friend, if you're not careful, a little acorn of life will hit you in the head. A little problem, a difficulty, a misunderstanding in your marriage. And if you don't respond right, the devil will try to convince you that that whole kingdom of God is about to collapse. And you can let that acorn be planted into your spirit. And then you realize if you don't deal with it correctly, before you know it, that tiny little problem has sprung into a full-blown tree of doubt and worry and oppression and depression and bitterness. And pretty soon you're shaking your fist in the face of God. You're saying, why me, Lord? Why me, God? Let me tell you something. I'm here to announce that just because you have a problem that has hit you, don't you dare think that Jesus has abandoned you. If you're a child of God, if you're walking with Him, don't listen to the lies of hell. Don't ever think that God has abandoned you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And if you walk with me, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, friend, it's not Ichabod, it's Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us. And you have a choice this morning. And what will you choose? I'm sure Joseph was, when he was dating that little Jewish girl, Mary, from that, you know, very nice Jewish family. Very respectable, classy Jewish family in Bethlehem there. He went to her father and he asked for her hand in marriage, or basically a contract. She would become my betrothed, my fiance. Jewish culture would be that when they would do that, the future husband would then go to his father's house and begin to prepare a home for he and his new bride by adding a room or a house onto his parents' existing home. That's how you know they're Puerto Rican. Right? Because you just can't have one bean. You got to have the whole burrito. And he's there preparing. That really brings deep significance when you realize Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you might be also. For in my Father's house is what? Many mansions. And he was giving them a typology, Christ was. They understood exactly what he meant when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, I'm the betrothed. And so now Joseph, he's building this on his house and he's waiting to be married. And the angel Gabriel appears in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. He appears to Mary in the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Let me read it to you. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered that manner of greeting that this was. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. I love that. When God's about to do something significant in your life, he always tells you, do not be afraid. Emmanuel, God is with us. And he tells her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. What's in a name? There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. America, there's hope in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I have not known a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is will be born will be called the Son of God. And then he adds this little great tidbit. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Understand that during this time, Elizabeth was praying for a child, but her and her husband were advanced in age, probably in their mid-80s. How'd you like to have a baby in your mid-80s? Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son, and now she's in the sixth month. She was once called barren. Listen to verse 37. The angel says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Oh, hallelujah. Would you say it with me? With God. Come on, with God, nothing is impossible. Say it like a child of God. With God, nothing is impossible. Oh, I believe that with all my heart. Mary answers, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. In other words, she could have said, no, this is impossible, Ichabod, but she decided to say, let it be God, Emmanuel. So Mary is now impregnated with the seed of God. She goes off for the next 3 months to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant, and nobody sees her for 3 solid months. And Joseph hasn't seen his fiance for 3 months. Can you imagine? She shows up 3 months later, and she's actually showing now. And she walks up, and he sees her, And she's showing. And she says, "Hey, Joe, we need to talk." And you know he said, "You think?" And she says, "No, you don't understand. An angel appeared to me and described what would happen, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me." And Joseph must have been thinking, "I don't know if that's an angel, maybe a devil, but I don't know." Because the Bible says he's looking at the outward situation and he wants to put her away quietly. And then the angel appears to him later. And in essence, he said, "It's not Ichabod, it's Emmanuel." And I believe the Lord waited to tell Joseph that to see his response. Two spirits, one choice. Two worlds, one choice. I want to say something to someone who's here whose life is in an upheaval. And everything seems to be going crazy. I'll be very honest with you. 2015, in our family, in our ministry, we've been fighting some big giants. Do you know what it is to fight giants? And let me be very honest with you. I've learned in 27 years of ministry and my life pretty much walking with God that many times, friend, many, many times, I thought what was happening was Ichabod, when the reality was it was Emmanuel working behind the scenes. It was Emmanuel pulling things together. Because when you're a child of God, understand that he is in control. He has a plan. He has a purpose with a divine destination in mind for your life. And many times that destination will take you over a rocky path. Many times it'll take you through a mountain pass. Abraham, "Yes, Lord, walk with me." And 3 days before he got there, the Holy Spirit whispered, "There it is. Buckle your seatbelt. There's the region called Moriah." So 3 days in advance, it's coming. And sometimes the will of God and sometimes the plan and purpose of God will take you through a valley, will take you through a hard place. And many times we're not privileged to the behind-the-scenes spiritual activity. Because the whole time Abraham is walking up one way, he has no concept. He thinks that he's got to sacrifice his son in the natural. He's looking through his own eyes. Coming up the other side, he has no idea God was bringing a ram. God was bringing a provision. And there are some of you right now that you have no idea. All you're looking at is the natural things that are happening around you. And you're saying, "This is horrible. This is terrible." Could it be that it's God wanting you to trust him? In rough times, keep an Emmanuel spirit. God is with us. In your marriage, keep an Emmanuel spirit, not an Ichabod spirit that says we don't love each other anymore. The glory has departed. You've changed. You've gone through the season of life and you've changed, and now you're going through all these things, possibly oppression and depression, and it's easy to throw our hands in the air and say, "Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod, I'm giving up on you. I'm giving up on those children. I've given my life for them, and look at this is how they repay me." The glory has departed. You see, when you first fell in love and got married, it was so ideal. Oh, this is ideal. A few months later, after marriage, you hit an ordeal. And then if you don't take care of it, several months later, it becomes a raw deal. And then the devil begins to say, "You need a new deal." Ichabod. Ichabod. The glory has departed. And it's so easy to throw your hands in the air in a difficult situation and say, "You know what? I give up. Let's give up." But all you really have to say is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. As I was preparing this week to come, the Holy Spirit, he whispered. Have you learned to cultivate the whispers of the Holy Spirit? You see, you can only cultivate the whispers of the Holy Spirit when you spend time in prayer with him in your prayer closet. It's not just going to happen if you only show up on Sunday morning and talk to him on Wednesday night. That's why the Shunammite woman understood. It is well. It is well. It is well. And there's many of you right now that you need to reach over and grab your spouse by the hand or that loved one. Or that person that you are sitting right next to. Maybe it's a family member. You need to look them in the eye and say, you know what? We're really going through it, but God is with us. And let's choose Emmanuel. Let's choose Emmanuel. Oh, I know things are difficult now, but the Bible says we're only two agree in my name. There I am in the midst of them. And we're going to walk this storm together because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, I want you to do that right now as the musicians are coming. I want you to reach over and just grab the hand of the person next to you, whether it is a loved one or just somebody you happen to be sitting next to. And would you stand all over the room right now? Just stand. And let's just begin to welcome the presence of Emmanuel into this room right now. I want you audibly to begin now with that hand in yours to just lift them all across the building. Emmanuel. 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 Because friend, you can watch the news and you can get so icky. And you can get all tied up in the latest polls and Donald's leading here and Cruz is leading there and Kasich is dropping out here and there. And the Lord wants you to focus your eyes on Jesus this morning. So all over the room, I want you right now just to begin to pray, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Because where any two agree in touching anything in my name, Jesus says, there I am in the midst. And there are heartaches all over this room. There are people who need to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior all over this room. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. For the next 30 seconds, that's what I want you to do right now, out loud, because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It doesn't say contemplate, it says say so. It doesn't say speak silently, it says say so. I want you to lift your voice right now and just say, Emmanuel, God is with me. That's it. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. Now I want you to look this way. You can put that hand down, just look this way. I had a young lady, she contacted me and she said, where are you? And I said, well, I'm in the airport. I'm on my way home from a speaking engagement. And she says, can you meet me at Mercy Hospital? The babies come early. And I said, well, if the babies come this early, there must have been a problem. And have you ever been in a situation where you knew you were gonna have to bring encouragement, but you had nothing? And you begin to pray, Lord, I need a fresh infilling, words of encouragement, words of prophetic utter, Lord, I need something, and God doesn't give you anything. And all the way up the elevator at that hospital, I'm thinking, Lord, I've got to give this young lady something. And the elevator door opens, and there she's standing. She's got her little hospital gown on, and she's holding it in the back like this, you know, and she's got the other hand pushing an IV. And the first words out of her mouth, this tiny little thing, she says, it's not fair. Have you been there? Possibly you're there right now. And I looked at her and I said, I know it's not fair. And she goes on to tell me how they're in debt up to their eyeballs. They're at Assemblies of God Theological Seminary in Springfield and they're studying for the ministry and her daddy was in the ministry and her granddad was in the ministry. And why me, Randy? Why me? And under my breath, I'm praying, Lord, I need a word of comfort, of exhortation, of sensitive counsel, Lord. And I had nothing. It's in those times that you learn, Emmanuel, God is with you. It's in those times that you must have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We walk into the hospital room and there's her husband. His arms are in the incubator in those little rubber gloves, and this tiny little baby, an IV in its head and its foot, and pools of tears are puddling on that acrylic of that incubator, and she's angry. An earth moment causes anger. And some of you today are angry. Do you know it's okay to be angry as long as you don't grow bitter? That little acorn that hits you in the head may cause you to be angry, but that's okay. You bring it to Jesus. That's an earth moment. That's okay. Just don't let it grow into bitterness and the fertility of your mind, and suddenly now it's this huge thing of depression. Nip it in the bud right now and bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Him. And I'm sitting there, and under my breath, I'm saying, Lord, I need words of comfort, of exhortation, of sound instead of count, sense instead of count. I've got nothing. And suddenly the Holy Spirit whispers, have her welcome me into her human experience. And the flesh side of me wanted to say, that's it, God? I mean, I wanted to give her a homiletical, hermeneutical, Aramaic to the Greek translation of. And the Holy Spirit said, shut up. It's as simple as Emmanuel. God is with us. And I looked at her and I looked at him and I said, here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to welcome Him verbally into our human experience. And she's angry and she said, can't do it, can't do it. And he, with his face, his head on that incubator, he said, yes, we can. And it came out very softly at first, but then it began to rise within him like a torrent. And he began to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And suddenly, the presence of God, and our knees buckled. I want you right now, in whatever situation you are in, to welcome Jesus into your human experience right now. There's someone here that you need to know Jesus died for you. He rose again on the third day, and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again on the third day, then you shall be saved. Well, I don't deserve it, Randy. You're right. Neither do I. But we're not saved because we deserve it. We're saved by grace through faith. And in just a moment, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and say, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you so you don't have to go alone. Why in the world would I do that, Randy? Because we believe at Oak Creek that once you say yes to Jesus, you're never alone again. Look around you. You're never alone again. That's why Pastor Brooks has instituted the life groups. You're never alone again. It's your choice, Ichabod or Emmanuel. I'm also gonna ask you to turn to that person next to you. Maybe they're saved already, but they need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. They need a word from God. They're facing rebellion. They're facing a situation in their marriage. You really don't know what the people are going through around you. And if you saw what I'm seeing as people are wiping the tears all over, I see you in the balcony, I see you in the wings, they're wiping their tears because life is hard. But Emmanuel is with us. And maybe you just need to step out in faith and grab your wife by the hand and say, come on, baby, we need to get to the altar. We need a fresh infilling of God's presence. We're gonna make this thing. We're gonna make this thing. Listen, friend, the altar is not just for repentance. But the altar is also for healing. The altar is also for infilling. But it's also the place where you come and say, Lord, I just want more of Jesus. I need Emmanuel in my life. Whatever it is, at the count of three, I want you to turn to, they're coming already. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. I want our prayer counselors to come right now. Prayer counselors, move right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. At the count of three, the rest of you come. Don't miss him in the balcony. Emmanuel, God is with you, bro. Emmanuel, God is with you. One, two, three. Come right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Just turn to them and say, come.